Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifieds, World of Outlaws, archives, it's all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, famed short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Okay, let me see. That button's pushed. That one's pushed. Joe's there. I'm here. Hey, I think we're all ready to go. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Race Time Radio. Susie's in her chair, too, by the way. I am Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Jr., right here in the Race Time Radio studio. And we got a lineup for you tonight. Junior, lucky today is today and not yesterday is today, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, we got a generator. We'd be fine.
Well, yeah, but the internet wouldn't work.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We had an ice storm, like you wouldn't believe, roll through here in the Racetime Radio corridor. And
I think it hit pretty well everywhere.
Yeah, it did.
In Ontario.
Yeah, it was definitely a big storm, and it was one of those fast-moving south storms that kind of bring the warm temperature and the moisture up, and then they meet our cold air, and all hell breaks loose. So,
yeah.
A lot of fun, a lot of slipping and sliding.
Yeah,
we stayed kind of close to the studio all weekend.
Yeah, well,
and when you look at all the cool stuff going on this weekend, we got a chance to stay up on a lot of it, and it was cool.
Well, the big track, Daytona International Speedway, was the scene this weekend for 2 days of testing in the ARCA presented by ARCA Menards Series. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. How about right off the top, Junior? We're going to have a driver that's going to run for Venturini this year, driving the number 20. And this young star is really going to get after it. He was sixth quick at Daytona after the second day of racing. Ryan Repko is going to join us right off the top of the show tonight.
Yeah, definitely. An up-and-coming star for sure. And really a really cool opportunity for Ryan Repko and for what they've got going on. Of course, you know, a lot of the big names that you see in the Cup Series have went through the Venturini model. And
yep.
not necessarily with Venturini, but the Venturini model.
Yeah.
They've got a great development program. And the guys who have came through that rank and have came through the doors in from their shop in Concord, the list is very long and strong. And when you look at, Ryan Repko, this guy has been racing a ton. He's been racing in the Southeast, you know, lots with the late model stock divisions. Moving up through the ranks into super late model, even doing a bunch of races last year down south in the bigger tours with the smaller team, Johnny Davis Racing in the Xfinity Series, and lots of different things like that. You're seeing this name pop up more and more. So it wasn't a surprise to see him land with a big team.
No surprise at all.
And, you know, he's been turning numbers. He's been doing great things in behind the wheel of the race car. And by the sounds of it, all went well during the test down there at Daytona. Came home in the top 10 speed-wise. I mean, the times don't mean a whole lot from the test, but being up there makes you feel a lot better when you leave that joint. And, of course, laying down a good lap time, and from talking to everybody that I spoke to, basically the Venturini camp looked like the king of the heap again.
Yeah. Now, speaking of fast, she was fast. She was Canadian, still is Canadian, and
a lot of people are thinking
Rich Jones.
You're going to lead into Haley Deegan.
No.
That's a lot of people are thinking. When you said that,
Haley's
she was
Canadian.
Fast at Daytona, and then you said the Canadian portion.
That's right.
So then you're going to turn everybody's ears, and they're going to say, what are you talking about?
Well,
you're talking about a girl in ARCA that was fastest. Everybody thought Haley Deegan. That's not who you're going to say.
No. Dominique.
There we go.
Van Wieringen is going to be on the show here tonight for Rhett Jones Racing. She was at the top of the scoreboard, top of the speed charts after 2 days of Daytona. We'll catch up with Dominique here tonight. We'll also swing all the way out to Newfoundland, pull in a buddy of mine. Mike James is going to join the program all the way from Eastbound International Speedway. They launched their schedule this weekend. John Carley, Canadian Vintage Modified President, is coming on. And we'll also catch up tonight with a Canadian photographer extraordinaire. Dave Franks is going to join the show. He's also going to be going into the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame. We'll talk to Dave a little bit from now, but what do you say we get to the hotline and bring in that first guest? He's going to lead us to green. He was sixth quick at Daytona International Speedway for Venturini Toyota. And let's welcome in Ryan Repko. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Fantastic, my friend. Thanks so much for the time tonight. Hey, how was Daytona? You got to love that place.
Oh, I do. I got my first opportunity to test there back in 2018. So, you know, it's one of those places that it's really special to the sport of racing, and it's a very prestigious racetrack. So you never really know when you need to go back. So this was my second opportunity to go there and test, and I think it went really well. I had a blast. I think the place was a little when I went there, but we had a lot of speed, and Venturini guys did great, and we had a fast car.
You got to love it. When a plan comes together, Daytona International Speedway, this time of the year, and you get out there, you get the juices flying. What did it feel like when you come under that tunnel turn and you look up and you see that big, beautiful speedway?
I mean, it's crazy, you know. I mean, you feel like you need the lift because you're going so fast, and there's so many G-forces when you enter the corner, but you can't lift. You got to stay wide open if you want to go fast, and, you know, you run that out lap up by the wall, and it feels like you're 3 inches off the wall, but really you've got a decent amount of room between you and the wall, so it feels weird, but it's something you get used to over time, and you know, you feel like you're just flying around the place, and especially in a pack, because when you the car, it wants to turn the car for you, and, you know, the first time that happens, it spooks you a little bit, but second time going there, so I kind of knew what to expect, and it was a blast. I had a lot of fun.
Ryan, you've got great success behind the wheel of a race car, pretty well whatever you get into. Looking at this ARCA series and looking at the Lucas Oil 200 at Daytona, how are you going to tackle this one, my friend? You know what you're doing behind the wheel. What are you thinking heading into the Lucas Oil 200 now that testing's in the rearview mirror?
Well, I'm going to be leaning on my teammate Michael Self a lot for information, because he's won the race, so he knows how it's played out, and he's raced it a few times, so he's got a lot of experience. And my Venturini guys, you know, I'm sure they're the all-time winning ARCA team. I mean, they've won everything you can win. So I mean, I'm going to be leaning on information that they give me, as well as you know, stuff that I learned at the test and stuff that they pointed out. So and I'm sure they'll have fast cars. They always do. Every year, they're always up front, and they won it, you know, last year, and I think the year before that, and who knows. You know, I was actually talking to Billy about qualifying and all that, and I forget how many poles he said they've got with this new format, but it's like close to all of them or something like that. It's insane how good this team is, and it's a dream come true to just be involved with them, honestly, because, I mean, it's crazy, because they're the team that wins all the races, and that's who everybody wants to run for, you know?
Absolutely, 100%. And when you look at the 2020 season, are you slotted to go full-time? What is your overall outlook for races from here to the end of the season in the ARCA series?
So I'm slotted to run 5 races for Venturini Motorsports. I'll be sharing the number 20 with Chandler Smith,
gotcha.
And together we're going to be working to try to capture back-to-back owners' championships for the 20 team within Venturini Motorsports. I'll be running Daytona, Talladega, Charlotte, Michigan, and Chicago. So I'll be getting a lot of big track experience, which will be good for me because if you look back, most of my career is short track racing. You know, last year I ran full-time in late mile stocks, racing at tracks like Hickory, Motor Mile, under the Cars Tour banner and stuff like that. So, and I was able to win a pretty good number of races considering my starts. I competed in 12 races last year and won 3 of them. And then, including the Throwback 276, which is a really prestigious
that was a big win.
Event.
That was a big win, by the way.
Oh, for sure.
That was huge.
And it was an honor to be able to represent Dave Marcus and have him in victory lane. A huge moment for my career. And then the year before that, I competed in 15 races and won 4 of them. So, you know, we'll just have to kind of see how I adapt to these big tracks to know whether or not how I'm going to run. Hopefully we're able to win a couple of them because that would be really big for my career.
Well, you're going to have to pucker up. You know what the tradition is, correct?
Oh, I do. I know. We were joking about it at the shop.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, I guarantee
you. You have to be a better sport than Christian Eckes was last year at the end. He was absolutely repulsed at the end of the year. I couldn't believe it. The guy won the championship. Everybody's smiling. He's like, I can't believe he kissed me. It was weird. You got to be a better sport than him. You got to embrace it, my friend.
I mean, that's the tradition. So, and from what I've heard, there's no escaping it. I mean, that means you want to race. I mean, that's pretty special. So, you know, I think I can deal with that for an ARCA win or however many we end up winning.
There is no escaping it. He comes at you like a grizzly bear. I've seen it a number of times now.
Oh, yeah, been right there in victory lane.
My Lord.
Billy Sr. comes flying out. I went, uh-oh. Watch out, guys. Yep. Here it is.
Here it is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. No, and you know what? The tradition is going to continue on. That's a cool one. That is a real cool one. Tell us about your support that's on that car, Rye. I know you have got great support around you. How about for Daytona and for 2020?
Well, I really got to thank Venerini Motorsports for the opportunity. You know, we've probably been talking about close to a year about putting something together and just couldn't for the longest, but it means a lot to be able to run for them, and they're a great race team, and they're great people, and it'll be great running for them. Also, got to thank Toyota for the opportunity. I'm going to be getting a lot of support from them, and getting to utilize some of their resources, which is crucial. I mean, they're a powerhouse in the sport of NASCAR right now, so it's great to be a part of that organization as well.
So from here until the green flag flies at Daytona, I believe it's February the 8th for the Lucas Oil 200. Is there going to be a lot of sleepless nights in between now and then thinking about that race, or are you nice and calm, cool, collected, and just can't wait to get there?
Well, there'll probably be a lot of nights with a lot of sleep because I'll be working out with my trainer trying to stay in shape for the race. So that'll probably contribute to that. And I'll be reviewing a lot of film and talking to Billy and Michael and really just trying to, you know, Daytona's one of those places you really can't predict what's going to happen, but you can prepare for it a lot by just looking at previous scenarios and how things play out. So it's just, I'll be preparing for it every way I know how. And, I'll probably learn a lot going into Talladega because they seem to race similarly.
Yeah, they do. You're a great driver. You're going to be surrounded by the best people you can be surrounded by at the world-famous Daytona International Speedway. Man, oh, man. It's good to be Ryan these days. Good for you, kiddo.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks so much for the time tonight on Race Time. Good job. 6th quick. Not bad at all. And I know we look forward to seeing how you can do in that Lucas Oil 200.
Thank you. I do too.
You betcha. Ryan Repko, he's one of those rising stars, Junior.
Yeah, for sure. You know, last year, he touched on, you know, the late model stock. A different approach than some coming out of the asphalt ranks, right? He is jumping right from the late model stock ranks into he jumped from there into the Xfinity series, right?
Yeah.
So he ran a couple races, turned a lot of heads for Johnny Davis. You know, I think back, he ran both races at Iowa and as well at Richmond. Improved from where he started to where he finished in all three of those races, which is a tough stat. He equaled out at Richmond, I think. I think he started 19th, finished 19th. But there wasn't a race where he went out there and qualified 14th and then finished 32nd. You know, marching forward is the tough part in this deal. And, you know, it would be interesting to know, and I wish I would have asked him while we had him on the air, if he viewed driving for Venturini in ARCA as a bigger opportunity than driving for Johnny Davis. Not in a bad way, but just simply because of the caliber of equipment that he's going to be jumping in.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's definitely going to add pressure to him, and it will be really interesting to see how he can perform. You know, I'm really looking forward to it. I think, you know, looking at the driver lineup that Venturini has put together, it's different than in years past. You know, they've got some big names that are going to be part-time.
Yeah, they got the cornerstones.
They do, yep. And then you know, they have their full-time guys like Drew Dolliter and like Michael Self, but a lot more part-time than we've seen in the last couple years. And they've got some really interesting drivers in the lineup. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that whole team gels. Obviously, last year, what did they win, 14 out of 20 races? Or it was a crazy number last year.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they can go out there and repeat their dominance.
Daytona, two-day testing for the ARCA presented by Menard Series, the ARCA Menard Series. How about this? Top of the speed charts for the number 30 for Rhett Jones Racing. We got Dominique Van Wiergen with us. How you doing, Dominique? Good job yesterday.
Thank you. I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Fantastic. Man, here we are, ice and snow up here. Sounds like you guys had a beautiful day at Daytona Beach.
Oh, yeah, we did. There was a little threats of occasional rain here or there, but we were all sweating.
Yeah, well, laying some fast lap times down as well for you. Was the car fast right out of the box, or did the boys have to go to work on it for you?
We did a few changes here or there, but we were consistently pretty racy time-wise. And once we started getting, and everyone started drafting, and we went out on Sunday, the first time I went out and came back in, and Mark was like, yeah, we're P1 on the speed chart. So I was like, oh, okay. Thought I could get a little bit more out of it, but didn't know it was that good.
Well, it just makes it more exciting for when you head back for the Lucas Oil 200. I did see an interview yesterday with you, and is it a definite yet? Are you for sure in that 30 for the Lucas Oil 200?
We're not for sure in it yet. We are trying to get funding for just to be able to compete because you know how the sport is. We're all trying to get in it, so if there's anyone out there that would like to see us in there, see how well we can do race day, you can contact our team owner, Mark Rhett, at Rhett Jones Racing.
Now,
we can get some deal going. I'd like to be able to race it. After P1 on the speed charts, I'd like to see how we do race day.
Yeah, nothing will help you out much better than putting it on top of the board at Daytona. That's got to feel fantastic and really rewarding for the team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they were all really happy when we came in, all tickled pink, as we say it.
I guess. You've been busy in this sport, Dominique. You're out of Windsor, Ontario. You've been down doing the NASCAR K&N Pro Series. You've been in a truck. You're now in an ARCA car. It's been a busy few years for you.
Yeah, the last few years I've actually been running a mod consistently pretty much every other weekend throughout the summer back in Michigan, pretty much back home for me. And I won the Springport Mid-Michigan Modified Track Championship this last year. So I've been keeping my skills sharp.
I guess. And that's important, right? Lots of seat time is really going to lend itself well. And it obviously does when you can take the experience you've got, jump into that 30, and go out there and stick it on top of the speed charts. That's saying a lot for you.
Oh, yeah. It definitely helps keeping in the seat and just keeping my skills sharp, because even though it's just local racing back home, all those guys have been racing for longer than I've been alive, so they know how to race up there too, so they keep you on your toes.
Absolutely. So the plan now for 2020, of course, you're got your eyes set on that Lucas Oil 200 to get the season started off, and hopefully you can get that funding put into place and jump back behind the wheel of that rocket ship. But what is your plan for 2020 looking down the road?
The only thing I have planned right now is still more modified racing back at home. We might be doing the big modified race at the Winchester 400 weekend this year as well, but that's all we have planned at the moment. I'd love to be able to do more ARCA or K&N races if we could get the funding.
Wouldn't that be – that would be awesome, especially if you could get back down to Daytona. And just imagine if you could get out there and win that race. I would imagine that would parlay itself into more ARCA races, I would imagine.
Oh, that would be phenomenal.
Yeah, it'd be something else. Have you got any of your crew from your modified down at Daytona helping you out?
No, they've been staying up home in Michigan, getting ready for the race season for this next year in 2020.
How about support for the modified? Sponsorship's got to play a key role up here as well. You well stickered up on the modified?
It's a lot cheaper to run the modified, so it's easier for us to pay for it. And we got a friend of ours that helps us out a lot, and he'll look after the cars for us while I'm down in South Carolina. And it's just, I remember the first half of the season, I won 4 or 5 of the first races, and we were able to just use the earnings money that we got from winning to pay for the new tires for the next race. And we were breaking even there for a while. So it's a lot easier to fund those local races up home than it is to do an ARCA race or a K&N race.
Absolutely. It's simply two different worlds, so to speak. Let's talk about Daytona for a minute here. You got there. What you would have arrived, what, Thursday last week?
Yeah, we got in Thursday night. And then gates opened on early Friday morning.
So meetings would have taken place, and then you got onto the racetrack, I guess, Friday.
Yeah, they had us do an ARCA meeting the first thing Friday morning, and then after the meeting they had a bunch of vans for the rookie drivers that haven't been to just get kind of a ride along just so you can get on the track first time. And then practice started at about 10:30 because the track was a little wet, so they had the jet dryers out there getting it dry. And when we got going, it's a little intimidating the first time you go out because it's a big track and you go really fast. But once you go out the first time, it's not so bad as you think it's going to be.
I spoke to Andrew Grizzell. He's a late model driver up here in Ontario, runs in the APC series. Andrew, 1 year, took a shot at Daytona, went down and I spoke to him after he got off the track that weekend. I said, Andrew, what was it like? Big 2.5 mile speedway. Is it like it looks on television? He said, no, it's not even close when you're behind the wheel. He said, big 2.5 mile track. He said, you still want to lift when you hit the turns, and everybody's telling you don't lift, but it just seems insane to keep your foot in it.
Yeah, it's a little unnatural feeling a little bit going into it, but after a few sessions I kind of got used to the feel of staying in it the whole time, and when you're kind of turning, what the track's going to do, and feeling the wind of hitting the car, because we had it was pretty windy all weekend, so there were a few times where the car would move just from the wind alone.
The goosebumps, I bet you got those when you went through that tunnel turn at Daytona.
They weren't too bad, actually. I've been to some pretty rough tracks, but I thought Daytona was really smooth.
But the feeling going through that tunnel, and now you're going to be in a car, it had to have thrown the excitement meter right off the top.
Oh, yeah, and intimidating at the same time.
A little bit of both. Then you progress into Saturday, and look at you go to the top of the board. Did you do any more laps after you hit the top of the board, or do you guys just say, okay, that's it, let's pack her up?
That was actually my first time out because my brother Tristan was practicing most of Saturday, So we just went in at one time just to get a good drafting group out there, and we did four laps, came in, and then there was a threat of rain, and about half of the cars in the garage, all, and we were one of them, were all agreed that, yeah, we can back up.
Yeah, and Tristan didn't do bad either, right? What did I want to say he was around ninth somewhere.
Yeah, he was doing pretty good. Part of the problem is if you don't get in a good drafting group that wants to stay in line, it'll affect your time. If you have six cars all bunched together like I did, you can get all 60 to the top of the speed chart in one way, shape, or form, but he had a group of four, and one guy got out of line and started messing around, so they weren't able to go as fast as they wanted to.
Right. Right. It totally different. That drafting is just boggles my mind when I watch it. You got to have the right partners. You got to be in the right group. And somehow or another, everybody's got to work together. And that never seems to work out. I don't know why, especially on the last lap of one of those big races.
Yeah. And when you can feel the people when they draft on you and just all that air, and it is fascinating to feel, because it's, especially just from short track racing, it's phenomenal how much it actually, like, you can feel yourself stop.
I bet. Dominique, you did fantastic. We wish you well, and hopefully you can gain that sponsorship that it's going to take to get you back behind the wheel for the Lucas Oil 200 in the ARCA presented by Menard Series. That number 30, Rhett Jones Racing. Those guys do a good job. You did a fantastic job behind the wheel, and good luck. Hopefully you can be back in there, and I'll tell you what, Canada would come unglued with you behind the wheel and putting it on the pole for that Lucas Oil 200.
Oh, yeah, I'd definitely like to be able to come back in 3 weeks.
Unreal. Dominique, thanks so much for the time tonight. We surely do appreciate it. Safe travels home, and we'll keep our eye out there. Hopefully we get you back on the show to make that sponsor announcement that you're going to be going to Daytona.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me on. And if you guys or anyone else listening would like to keep track to hear any progress updates, my Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram are all Dominique Racing. So you can follow me there and keep track of what's going on.
Thanks so much for the time tonight. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
She's fastest. She's Canadian, Junior. Pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. That's absolutely awesome. And, you know, the team that she's driving for, you know, has got lots of coverage, obviously, from Racetime Radio. It's been a good friend of Racetime Radio. Of course, that's Terry Jones.
Yeah.
Now, it's Mark Rhett and Terry Jones, right? So it's Rhett Jones Racing. Terry Jones from down near Chatham, Ontario. Petrolia, is it? Where's Windsor.
Windsor. Yeah, he's a Windsor boy.
He's from just outside Windsor, though. There's a little town down there that
LaSalle? LaSalle, maybe?
LaSalle?
I don't know.
But Terry Jones, of course, Canadian guy, is now giving opportunities to other Canadians as well, you know?
Sure.
And you think back to Grant Quinlan, you know, who's done lots of racing with Rhett Jones and with that 30 car, and now as well with Dominique. And, you know, it's really interesting to see how everything has transpired with that team. The 30 car has been, you know, a force to be reckoned with, and they're adding names to the board all the time, new drivers and new teams that they're working with. And I think that, you know, looking into the crystal ball, I think we're going to see a lot more out of that team. And hopefully Dominique is part of that. And, you know, obviously going out there and setting fast time is a feather in the cap. And she's doing a great job. And, you know, you can't congratulate her enough, because it's definitely, it's cool leaving there. And she mentioned it, you know, just like anybody else leaving that test. The time means not a whole lot other than being successful.
Yeah.
And but that being said, you walk out of there with an extra pep in your step.
Sure you do. Yeah. We had another Canadian also down there, Jason White from Sun Peaks, BC. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But I got to hit this break, Junior. When we come back, out to Newfoundland we go. We got Mike James from Eastbound International Speedway coming up.
Hey race fans, this is Chad Collins from Delaware Speedway Safety Crew. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
from coast to coast. You're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tiltload, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bowl shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of dunk sauce.
We don't even eat dunk sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
The 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. You know, we spent our own money making our records, too, you know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167, and on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Baby. Hear rare interviews and performances. Concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home great, away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Any way you want it, just the way you need it, any way you want it.
Colder than a witch's titty out there, isn't it?
She loves to sing, she does everything.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. A little chilly out there, nice and warm right here in the Racetime Radio studio. Let's get back to the hotline, shall we? And let's bring in our next guest. He comes to us from St. John's, Newfoundland, out on the rock. And I know those guys are ready to rock on the rock. The 2020 schedule is now released. Let's welcome in Mike James and from Eastbound. What's going on, Mikey?
Just for the record, before you start, you were going to say 2019.
I seen it.
You stuttered.
It was right there.
You just about went 19, but then you
then
bailed
I
it out.
It.
You
then
bailed
I
it out.
It. What's going on, Mikey? How you doing, buddy?
I just didn't want to interrupt your inter-family fighting going on.
I mean, that's what we do on
How
this
y'all
program.
Doing? Happy New Year, boys.
Happy New Year to you, too. What's going on out there in Newfoundland tonight?
Well, it's full throttle. It's season 7 for Eastbound Park in Avondale, and it's been a busy off-season already. And, you know, New Year's Eve was just only a week ago, and it's every day is just it's going to be an announcement coming down the pipe. So the last couple of days have been pretty exciting, announcing season 7 for Eastbound, fifth NASCAR Wheel and All-American Series for us for that series, and continuing on with the NX Series as well.
Gotta love it. The tradition continues at Eastbound International. Seen a post today. Friends of ours got a trip all arranged, I guess, to go to Newfoundland. So I jumped right on and I said, oh, my, you're going to Newfoundland. You got to go to Winging It when you get out there. You got to go to Eastbound International Speedway and check it out. I'll have their whole trip planned, Mike. I can see it.
I'm starting to take a hint that you've been endorsed by Wings.
No. Hey, I love it. And the only problem is I haven't got a wing in it here in Owen Sound. We got to get that solved.
You got to get back here, and we'll put on some pounds here and get some racing going. But season seven is really exciting. You know, the IHRA drag racing just got announced on Friday. It's a full jam-packed series right from Victoria Day weekend right up into middle October. And a lot of new announcements. I know we talked about getting on here tonight about, you know, talking about the schedule. But I talked to Pat and Bob and the team back here, and we got a bit of an announcement.
Oh, good, good, good. Bear on, bud. Way you go.
So this year there will be six divisions. We are adding two new divisions.
Oh, you gotta love it!
We are not going to go into too deep because we don't put the cart before the horse here. But the we are going to introduce two brand new divisions that we're super pumped about. We've been talking about it for the last 6 weeks. You know, Joe Chisholm Jr. Really got Pat Squire's spark down here with all this new concept that they're talking about up there in Ontario. But there will be two new divisions for 2020 and. You know, it's really going to open it up for some newer drivers that are looking to come into the sport, but also for some of our veteran drivers as well.
Absolutely, Mike. That's great news. Got to love Eastbound. Beautiful track. If you've never been to Eastbound International Speedway and you are planning a trip to Newfoundland this summer, trust me, you got to head out to Avondale. It's not that far from St. John's. What is it, Mike? Maybe 20 minutes, right? Out the highway and you're at the track.
20 minutes, yeah. It's about 20 minutes, 30 minutes for someone who wants to obey the speed limit.
Yeah, depends on who's driving. I was going to say, I rode with DJ, and it was a 45-minute drive out there. The guy does not drive on the racetrack like he drives on the road.
He had his tongue with him.
He did. That's right. That's right.
I got five kids. So I don't speed.
No, I have been on my way out there with Bob Smith, and he and I go the speed limit. It usually takes us about 20 minutes. But I say that, and that is if he doesn't stop at Holyrood or take me a different way every time he goes to the track.
It's a beautiful ride out. You know, there's just so much to do here in Newfoundland. You know, just if you're coming down for the tourism season, I mean, June's going to be a hot month for the icebergs and so many things to do here on the rock during the summertime. So, we do get quite often a lot of tourists visiting Eastbound. Last year we had a gentleman that visited a lot of tracks all over North America, and he was super pumped to take Eastbound off the bucket list. So we're always excited, and, you know, it's great to get an email from these fans that are coming from away, and just shoot us one on eastboundpark.com, and we'll make sure we get to meet up with you.
So going, taking a little bit of a deeper dive into the format for 2020, Sauble Speedway, of course, is doing a timed division, a bracket, if you will, on a couple of different divisions within a couple of the different categories. Is that going to be a structured thing for multiple divisions within Eastbound, or will there just be a timed division, or how does that look?
No, we're not going to see that this season. We're going to let you guys mess it up first.
That's right. I mean, yes, 100%.
You do have our interest, though. You know, it seems logical. It seems like a little bit like IHRA or IHRA bracket program. You know, it's I like it, you know, but it's I don't know if I agree with the one boo boo and rip the Band-Aid off. Maybe, you know, a warning.
Yeah. No.
Filled in with some of the stuff that you guys have been talking about, but I don't know. Is it going to deter drivers from beefing up those cars? Probably not. You know, they're going to be still wanting to come out of that hole pretty hard. So
absolutely,
you know, you try to make the late model series affordable for all drivers. So you don't have those teams that are beefing up and spending an extra $20,000 on their cars. That's not the direction we're going to go for season seven. But there is some intriguing things that you guys have brought to the table, and we're gonna play with it probably in about a week or so. We're gonna make our announcement.
Neat,
nice
cool.
Stuff, Mike.
We'll keep you in suspense.
Yeah, you will be, Mike. You guys are known for having some of those longer distance races as well at Eastbound. We see the Saturday night program, part of the NASCAR home tracks. But we do see some extended distance races, 150s and so on. Is there plans for that?
Well, we got a driver's meeting coming around the corner here. You know, we've been just finalizing. We sent out an email to all the drivers to get their feedback. It's always important, you know, around this time of the year to get that really important feedback from our drivers, you know. You know, because once that rule book, as a famous guy I know from Ontario said, you know, once that rule book is accepted, it is the word of God. It's going to be pretty exciting once we get through the formats here and get our rules out and get this season started. But there's going to be 10 NASCAR Wheel and All-American Series. There is talks about an extra one in October, just about an exhibition race. So there could be around 11 races there on the schedule for the drivers. There's 7 weekends for the IHRA, double days for those guys. But I think we're just going to get our feedback from our drivers here, but I think we're going to walk away from the double features. We've gotten some feedback from some of the drivers that, you know, something happens in the first race and then, you know, it's kind of a shootout, these 35, 45 lap races.
Mm-hmm.
I think the future of season 7 is going to be a little bit longer races and just having that one feature, specifically because with the new divisions coming into the play through season 7, it's just about time and tune and getting a really good program there for our fans.
Yeah, and that sounds like a great idea, too, I might add, to have that one big feature event that night for each division. Good call on you guys. It's going to be exciting, I can guarantee you that.
You know, last season was probably one of my favorites, you know, just watching all the new drivers come up. You know, there's 14 drivers right now in the stable that are the young guns, I'll call them. And, you know, I'll just throw out some names there, like Chris McFarland, Owen Grove, Sarah Thorne, Joey Arsenault, Nick Codner, Austin Hiscock, Michael Neary, Grayson Melindy, Matthew Rideout, Noah Healey, Jacob Lawrence, Alex Evans, Johnny Upshaw, and this young kid, Parker Young, now 8 years old. I mean, there's such a huge wave of young talent. I believe the 2020 season is probably going to be the most epic season. You know, Wayne Walsh has run 3-time NASCAR Wheel and All-American Series champion. He's got a lot of competition in that series this year in the late models. That it's going to be one for the storybooks, I believe. This is probably going to be the most exciting, and we've been playing about a lot of stuff that's even streaming live this year.
I know that the drivers, there was some feedback saying, hey, we need to go to one race because I had this go wrong in the first race last year and I couldn't make it out for the second one. But I will play devil's advocate. There's going to be guys that go out there now and really tear some stuff up because it's only one race. Hey, you know, we only got one shot at this, so let's make that bonsai move. Now, that translates into awesome news for the fans, you know, in the grandstands at Eastbound. You know, coming from years at Delaware Speedway, spent a few years doing double features basically every single night, and going back to a single event style, you know, per night, you got to race completely differently when there's only one time when the pay window opens versus if there's two. And that is going to translate not only into more fair competition for everybody, but it's also going to translate into more aggressive competition for everybody front to back. And hats off to you guys for identifying that and accepting that. You know, like that's a big move for
huge.
A racetrack to move. It's
it
fundamentally
is.
Different from year over year. It's not like just tweaking the way that the point system is. Like you're fundamentally changing how how the drivers and how the teams need to approach the race, and really, it's gonna. I've seen them race out there, and and they don't need any incentive to race harder.
No,
they do not need any incentive to do that.
The first lap is the last lap at Eastbound. 100%.
No, it's. I mean, and that's
done on the first lap,
and that is what makes it exciting at Eastbound. I challenge any race fan, if they are a grassroots, you know, short track, Saturday night style race fan, they need to go to Eastbound Park.
Yep.
And
check
and
it out.
I don't mean this as like a, and I've said this probably a million times, so I may as well say it on the air. It's not, they've got the technology, they've got the excitement, they've got the knowledge of today, right? But they've got the excitement level of the 1970s to 1980s era of short track racing.
Yep, they do.
And,
you're right.
And in incorporated into that excitement is a little bit of different approach to how racing works, right? So within, you know, it's not the North Carolina style of racing. It's not the Ontario style of racing. The same thing can be said about Quebec. They approach short track racing in a different way than what you see in Ontario versus what you see in North Carolina.
There is no, let me see how this race plays out eastbound.
No, no.
These guys go for that front spot, like, I mean, from the time the green flag comes out.
Every single one of
until
them.
Robert throws that checkered flag,
yep.
Those guys are on. It's great racing. You guys do a dynamite job out there, Mikey.
They're chewing on the steering wheel the entire time.
It's got a lot to do with dirt track racing here on the island. You know, way back in the 60s, late 60s, 70s, you know, we had a couple of asphalt tracks that did not make it to the end. You know, the Knight Speedway and Spencer Speed Bowl back in 69 to the early 70s. And then it just kind of disappeared. And then dirt track became the dominant one through the 80s. And then, you know, when we took over the Avondale Raceway and built that 3/8 with the high bank, I mean, it was basically new. I mean, a lot of the drivers that were entered knew nothing about stagger or, you know, all these different physics and science behind racing. It's incredible to watch from season one where we are today to season seven, you know, and seeing the young bandoleros that have come up through, like the Owen Groves and the Sarah Thorns and Michael Nerys, and see the expertise of when they travel away down in Florida and North Carolina. And bringing back this knowledge, and I don't know if it's the Newfoundland thing, but you know, some of these guys don't like talking to other people. But you know, a lot of that knowledge is being shared throughout the pits, and what we've seen in six seasons is absolutely incredible. And you know, the first couple of years it was pretty frustrating, you know, to watch Term One, the cutovers, and a bit of a grittiness of the old dirt track racing.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're seeing now is, you know, we're seeing 40, 50 laps, green flag laps. A lot of passion. You know, you're not seeing, you know, that dominant car out front anymore. You're seeing all these challengers coming up through the pack. And, you know, we played with some ideas last year, as Joe brought up, and, you know, starting the guys to the back on the heat races and stuff. And we've seen some pretty incredible racing in season six. And season seven, I'm just on the edge of my seat. I can't wait to get back in the broadcast booth and just watch some of these guys where they're going with this. Wayne Walsh had another fabulous season, but I'm telling you, this is going to be the year. I know he's going to deliver again, but he's going to have his hands full. I mean, you got like Kevin Lane, who just won Division II NASCAR. He's coming up. We got the Thunder Valley champion Colin Chernofsky. He's now into a sportsman, and you got all these young kids like Neary and Joey Arsenault and Matthew Drukin now, and so many people on the move. We're looking at probably six or seven new late models this year, new drivers into that division. So it's going to be a pretty stacked, probably about 24, 25 cars starting per night.
I got goosebumps, Mike James. I got goosebumps. Can't wait for that season to start. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I got to get out to Eastbound International Speedway myself to check it out. And we will stay up with you. Keep us up to date on how things advance. We'll get you back on the program and give everybody an update and the full rollout of the package. Sound good to you?
Sounds good, and we're really excited. Hopefully we'll get to see both of you guys down here this year. I know we got some really good squirrels down here, Junior. You might be able to find a squirrel here at Avondale, but
every squirrel finds a
squirrel,
nut.
By the way.
Little Red is doing good.
Yeah.
Just seen her today.
I thought that squirrel was actually gone, Mike.
Yeah, I did
and
too.
And just the other day, Joe walked outside.
Jumped right on me.
The squirrel came down the tree and jumped on him. I said, you got to be kidding me. This squirrel is still going. This is like, what, 2 years? Now.
This is 2 years now.
Incredible.
Yeah. This I'm a food source. So
food source.
Hey,
yeah, that's
I will say this about that. You know, if you're too busy this summer to go out to Newfoundland, all you got to do is just send me. You just got to throw me on a plane.
Just throw you on.
And you know, I'll take lots of photos. I'll send them to you. It'll feel like you're there. We'll Skype.
Well, you know what Mike could say? Just throws them on the plane, buddy. Just
throw them
up.
The plane.
Yeah. No,
that's just throw them up.
No, Mike doesn't talk like that. It's Mike doesn't talk like that. It's the other. There's some of them out there that you would say throws them on the plane.
Patty would say something different. I can't even say what Patty would say.
After a couple of beverages, you know, the linguistics come back. Being in the United States and traveling all over the world, my accent has kind of disappeared, but it does come back at some time, especially when you're in town, Joe.
Oh, yes. I've heard it. I've heard it.
Or Brad Mann.
Mike, has been great catching up with you tonight, buddy.
Yeah, I just want to give a big shout-out to Bob Smith and the Squires family. You know, this is season seven, and, you know, this has been a big dream of Pat Squires, seeing these young kids come up through. And we're really looking forward to season seven, and I know everybody's been biting at the bit because we've been a bit quiet in the off season. You know, we do deserve a break now and then, but all the drivers are pretty pumped this week after the video's release and the schedule, and we're going to crank it up from May to October, and hopefully we get to hang out with you guys and get a reunion, maybe Jerry and Brad and all of us get together sometime, but it's going to be a good one, and I really appreciate jumping on, and I know the drag guys are pretty stoked about their season as well, and we just met with those guys there this week, and a lot of news coming down the pipe. One big announcement coming down is the new NASCAR Wheel and All-America Series season pass is going to be announced this Tuesday. So fans are going to be able to get a discount with some merchandise and stuff. So it's a brand new program for us.
You guys continue to light the lamp, Mikey. Good job. We'll catch up with you soon, buddy.
All right, take care, guys.
You betcha. That's Mike James from Eastbound International Speedway. We're going to hit this break, Junior. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, my name's Mark Salmon. I drive the number 78 Super Modified, sponsored by Wells Foundry, Curry Steel, and Mobile Striping, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
Logano's in the wall. He'll slide up and he'll slam on the safer bear and he clips Larson. He'll send Larson.
The thrill of the race. Live from the track.
Definitely sliding into it, out of control.
It's unbelievable how quickly things can change in racing. There's no weak spot.
You just never know how it's going to play out.
Insider access to the drivers.
We'll roll with it. We're enjoying it. We'll collect as many trophies as we can.
And the exclusive home to Happy Hours, hosted by Kevin Harvick.
It's a new normal. Better figure it out.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on SiriusXM 167, Canada Talks. And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
Hey, you two, get your asses in here.
And we are back with you. That grumpy old man, he keeps yelling at us.
Sounds just like you.
No, it you're rotten kid. Next weekend, I'm going to take great pleasure in this. Next Sunday night, Adam McCullough is going to be in here with me instead of you. You're going to Victoria, B.C., bailing on me for the weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to Victoria. There's nothing to do with racing.
Nope.
Which is weird for me.
Yeah.
I'm going on a trip that doesn't include race car of any kind.
Western Speedway is out there. You know that.
I mean, I might have to go take a look.
You might have to go take a look and take some photos.
I might have to.
Yeah.
And might go whale watching.
Whale watching.
I don't know.
Buddy, you're going to have snow to deal with. It's going to snow out there.
It never snows in Victoria, BC.
Yes, it does.
Hey, I got a note here.
Do you?
I got a note here, and I don't know if I'm allowed to. I don't know if I'm allowed to say what's in it.
Well,
I mean, so here's the thing. I'm not afraid of letting cats out of the bag.
Well,
that's what we do.
You can't do that.
But I mean, he didn't say don't say it.
Well,
he said you got to tell the old guy to get this guy on the program.
Oh,
because I heard he's heading to a certain racetrack in a couple weeks.
Well, that doesn't make any sense at all. You got to tell us what it is now.
I'm sorry.
No, you can't do that.
I don't know if I can tell you.
Well, maybe you can't.
All right, it's from.
Look, squeeze him.
It's from Kent. I'm waiting for him to comment.
Oh, whatever. From Kent.
I'm saying it.
Okay.
We got to get Austin McDonald on the program.
Woo, Austin. Is he heading for Speed Weeks?
Oh, you already guessed it.
Look at that. He was here last year.
I'm sorry if I just outed you, Kent. That is not. I know if you were trying. If you were trying to do that on the sly.
Well,
I don't know how that works. I did not mean to get you in trouble.
No.
But the news was going to come out anyways.
The World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing coming up at New Smyrna Speedway. It's coming up in just a few weeks. And we are going to start previewing it next weekend. I'm going to have to reach out and see if I can get a hold of Austin McDonald. Find out a little bit more around that. We'll pose the question, so to speak.
Absolutely. 100%. And you know what? They had a good run last year.
Oh,
at Speed Weeks.
Yeah, they did.
And
Cassius was down there with them.
The amount of seat time that Austin McDonald has got now compared to where he was at last year.
Yeah.
I mean,
last year.
Wow. He's going to go out there and light the lamp.
He's got that's Rolly McDonald's grandson. He's a good wheelman. We've seen him at the IWK 250.
Yep.
Out at Riverside. And
I watched him in a Legends car at Riverside.
The kid's got it.
Yeah, I watched him in a Legends car at Riverside when we were out there for the Pinty Steel. And definitely, he's a chip off the old block, that's for sure.
Yeah,
he's quite a cat.
Well, and we're going to have to find out who else is heading from Canada, who's going to head down to the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I don't think that we're going to see the long list like we've seen in the past couple years. With the dollar the way that it is, and a lot of the competitors that I would say are going to Speed Weeks this year are making a trip to Nashville.
Oh, really?
Well, really. Like,
yeah.
Made the trip to Nashville in the fall.
Right.
The Brandon Watsons,
yeah.
The Jake Sheridans, mm-hmm. You know, those types of names, the Taylor Holdaways. They're making this trip to Nashville, and by the sounds of it, there's a bunch more names that are going to be added to that Nashville roster list come the big race in the spring. So
yeah.
It's a number of the guys that would normally make the haul down from here down to Speed Week from Ontario, at least, are kind of, you know, focused in on other venues.
All I can say
which is
what
unique.
Better way to prepare for that All-American race, right? Well, a great way. Go to New Smyrna and find out what you got.
100%, yeah. But, I mean, you know,
it costs a lot of dough.
Well, yeah, where the dollar's at right now, I would almost rather pick and choose two races than go and race nine.
Junior, you can't go by the dollar. I know you're older now and you're starting to look at money and it's actually real. But back when I was going to the World Series, when I was there year after year, it was a 60-cent dollar.
Yeah.
And the pits were loaded with Canadian drivers.
Yeah, but your car cost $5,000 and your motor was $30,000.
No. Everything was relevant. You know what? I got to hold you there. We are going to – I got to throw it back to Toronto. Get you up to date on some of the news and highlights that you just may have missed here on the channel for hour number one. But we will be back for hour number two. And coming up, John Carley, Canadian Vintage Modified President, just newly elected, and Dave Franks, photographer extraordinaire from Ontario. He is going to join the show tonight. So we got still lots coming in hour number two. So we don't want you to go anywhere. And we will be back in 90 seconds. Stay right there.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Time Radio is brought to you by
the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on and boom.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. We're back with our number two of Race Time Radio. With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, our number two begins tonight here on Race Time Radio. Maybe you're tuned in on Sirius XM channel 167, and if you are, welcome aboard. You may be tuned in, though, on 98.9 XFM, Antigonish, Nova Scotia, throughout the course of the week. Or maybe the Performance Motorsport Network.com. Hello to you. Airing Racetime Radio a couple, three times a week. Or maybe Gearhead Country Radio. Or maybe you're listening on demand. And if you are, and if you're not, you can just get to iTunes and search Racetime Radio. And you can subscribe, hit like, subscribe, and you'll never miss Racetime Radio again. What?
If they're not listening to on demand,
right,
and they're not listening live, well, are they even listening?
Well, they are. They
if
could
a tree
be.
Falls in the woods.
All of those different ways.
And nobody's around to hear it.
That hat. Or that headset must be just a tad tight. We will loosen that up. But let's get our next guest on the line. Newly elected president of the Canadian Vintage Modifieds. It is John Carley. What's going on, you nuclear pumpkin? What's happening?
Hey, boys. Welcome to the 2020 season.
Yeah, gotta love it, Johnny. I see you launched a schedule already. You have got things activated.
We are on a roll. We are on a roll. First and foremost, thanks for having me on.
Oh, I love getting you on this show. We don't get you on enough, John Carley. You've been busy behind the wheel. Now you're going to be extra busy, the president of the club behind the wheel.
Yep. I was president back in the early 2000s. I thought I'd take another shot at it, try and get the club back up to snuff. We've done a pretty good job so far.
Make hobby racing great again.
You got it. Lucas Oil has stepped back from the club, but with car count down and the show starting to suffer, we made some changes and brought on Young Drivers of Canada as our title sponsor.
Ah, congratulations on that, John. That's excellent news.
So now we will be the Young Drivers Canadian Vintage Modifieds.
Good deal. Good deal. And, you know, it's more economics, I think, with the Vintage Modifieds than anything. Wouldn't you agree?
It's probably the best bang for your buck in racing in Ontario. If you're using a Crate 602, you're 330, 335 horse to a 2,400-pound car.
Yeah.
Tires are good. You can get six nights out of your right rear. It's, you know what, you get to race, you get to have fun, and you don't have to spend, you don't have to take a second mortgage out.
John, whereabouts do you get one of those cars, though? Those cars that you guys use are absolutely gorgeous.
They are getting harder to come by with the Rat Rod guys out there. I didn't like Rat Rods, to be honest with you, 10 years ago, and now I love them. I love the fact that they're getting cars out of barns and out of fields and out of bushes and bringing them back to life. And, you know, when they originally come out, you know, milk crates with rope for seatbelts, I kind of didn't like that, the safety end of it. That was going to get hurt, but... that got all fixed up, and now it's nice to see the old rods going down the road. Gets the kids back involved, too. So to get a car, for the most part, you have to get one that's already built because they're so hard to find bodies for. But there are still some bodies out there. Rob Parker that lives in Michigan, he's got four bodies for sale. He'll bring them up here if anybody wants one. Mike Westwood has one sitting at his place. I think Mark Klotz has one. There's a couple still around. Then there's a couple of guys building cars. Westwood builds them. Ron Easton over at Oakville Trailers builds them. So there is, if anybody's interested, just have them go to our Facebook page, Canadian Vintage Modifieds, join our club right there, free of charge, and send me a private message and I will get in touch with you and help you get a car.
Absolutely.
Now, so, and they're under $12,000.
Exactly.
That cost you $30,000 to build it from the ground, like from scratch, if you didn't have any of the parts. But to buy a used one, you can buy them between $6,500 and $15,000.
Exactly, for sure. It's not a $55,000 investment here. It's not a crazy investment. If you can afford to go snowmobiling, you can afford to race.
If you can afford to go golf every weekend,
exactly,
you can afford to race.
Yes.
My budget to go every Saturday night to race. Well, we have 14 shows this year at Flamborough.
Yep.
To go race, it's $135 a week to go race.
Gotcha.
That's my fuel for my truck to get there. That's fuel for the race car.
Yep.
Admission to get into the pits. So, I mean, $135 a week, and if you finish in the top five, you're going to get $175 back.
Yeah, exactly.
So, John, give
us a rundown. Now, obviously, you've made a bunch of changes now. There's a lot of changes happening internally. We're going to cover off the membership program that you're working on, which is a step in a different direction from where really any racing series is going at this point in time, correct?
Correct. Our membership, to buy a membership for the club, let's make it clear. If you want a number in our club, it's $250.
Gotcha.
50 of that pays for your pad at the track at Flamborough. 200 comes back to the club to help us have an operating budget to do special events through the year. We have a couple of things planned that we'll release as the year goes on. But that $200, that membership buys your number. So you can have as many drivers as you want under that number and as many crew people as you want. So they all submit their email address. And then when we put out any special events or any news or anything that's going on, we'll send a mass email out to all the members of the club. So everybody that wants to be involved is informed. So nobody's sitting in the back waiting for their driver or their team owner to come and tell them what's going on. With that, you get one vote, and that vote would be for elections. The elections are in November. We used to have a rules meeting. We used to have a procedures meeting, and you would submit your procedures or rules, and then we'd wait a month, and everybody would review them and come back and then argue them all out and take a vote. I brought it to the membership last, at the beginning of the month when we had our general membership meeting, and asked the club if they have any objections to me changing the way we do things. We're going to run it like a business. If you want to be part of the club, you have to understand if you elect us, we're going to do the best interest of the club, not the best interest of any one team. And that's how every division should be.
Yeah.
What's best for the organization. So that being said, you're going to bring your suggestions to us at the end of the year in September, what rules you'd like to see change, what procedures you'd like to see change, and then leave it with us. We'll hash it out. We'll go through all the pros and cons, and we'll come back with what's best interest of the club.
Yep.
And I think it's going to work. I mean, obviously, it's going to work. We have 33 teams looking for numbers. 33 teams looking for cars, have cars, or are building cars. 24 of them have already confirmed to run this year, so that makes us a full field again.
Oh, gotta love it, Johnny. Good job.
We're going to go back to three heats. We're going to go, instead of a 20-lap feature, we're going to go to a 30-lap feature. We get a lot of stuff on the go. So, and you alluded to the fact that I made a bunch of changes. So one of the other things we're doing, too, March is coming up, the Motorama Car Show with Inside Track. Inside Track has come on to sponsor the club as well. So we have five cars in that show.
Good deal.
And those five cars, you want to know who they are?
Yeah.
All right. The 07 of Michael Kenny, who used to run a mini stock, he bought Jimmy Sweer's old car.
Nice.
He's now running in the club, first time ever. The 18 of Jared Murphy, he bought Keane's old car. He's redoing that. He's coming out. The 24 of the Rocket Rodney Rutherford that run the Sinister 61, that 38 car in the Hot Rod Series.
Yeah.
He bought a hobby car. He's coming out.
He needed to buy a car after the Jocasta wreck. I'm just saying.
No kidding. No kidding.
That was bad.
Rodney,
that was a hard
you scared all of us, my friend, that day. And I'm just glad that you're getting back into a race car because that was a scary old deal.
He wasn't in the car.
I know that he wasn't in the car.
He wasn't in the car. But glad that nobody got hurt in that.
Correct. Exactly.
The 33 car is out of the Bill Stoner Senior Race Shop. He told me who was going to drive it, but I'm not going to release that until he releases it. It's an old driver, not an old driver. He did race back in the 80s in the club. He's coming out of retirement to wheel that car for a few races. And the 53 car of Jeff Kells, another rookie, used to run a Pure Stock at Flamborough and decided that his lifelong dream was to run a hobby car, and here he is.
How about the 19? You didn't mention the 19.
The 19's not going in the car show because my car isn't show quality. My car's more as it came off the track quality.
Yeah, it looked great. Your car looks fine.
If any one of those cars can't make it, then my car will be in the show.
Yeah.
Cool.
But I'll be there anyway. So any of your listeners that are there, stop by the booth. You're not going to miss it. It's going to have a great big 10 by 20 foot canopy that says Young Drivers on it. Come on over, say hi, introduce yourself. We'll talk some racing.
Are you going to be wearing an orange suit? Because that's the only way that I remember you.
Well, my car is blue and white, and I've lost 40 pounds.
Oh, big time.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I'm seriously thinking about getting a new race suit and changing up the color scheme a little bit. I don't know yet, though.
Johnny, you can't do that because I wouldn't be able to pick you out from the tower when I look over to the pits.
Still wear a bright orange shirt, though. my daughter, well, she's 14 now, and she always said, Dad, all you wear is black. You need to brighten up a little bit. So I went out and bought all fluorescent orange, fluorescent green, fluorescent yellow, and that's what I wear. If anybody that knows me, when you see me at the drag, I'm wearing bright colors.
Yes, you are.
And I'll continue to do that.
You
touched on the changes. And it's not changes to rules. These are options that we're going to allow going forward.
Okay.
I think these are going to surprise you. They surprised a few people, but even got more people interested in the club. Because after the meeting, I got another four guys calling me looking for cars.
Nice.
We're going to allow used 602 crate motors.
Good.
The rule in the club was it had to be as it come from GM, and you could only use a new one. Now we're going to open it up at any 602, but it has to go to Klotz Auto and be checked and sealed by them. And if you buy a brand new one, it still has to go and be checked and sealed.
Yeah.
If you ran in the club like me, I have one that I know is 100% legal, but it has to come out and go to Klotz Auto and be checked. So we're all on the same page.
Good deal.
Again, no one team. It's about the organization.
Right.
We're going to allow power steering.
Wow.
That's a good idea.
That's a big adjustment in the vintage mods.
Yep, that's a huge adjustment. The guys have fought that for years, but we have a couple of people that have some shoulder issues or arm issues that it's not fair just to let three or four people do it. You just the option's there. You don't have to run. And the fact that we're going to run 30-lap features, some guys might want to look at power steering. John Caselli... in the August race, near the end of August, the 29th, he has a scheduled for a 40-lap race.
Nice.
So the club's never ran 40 laps
yeah,
before.
Yeah, you're going to need that power steering.
I think so.
Yes.
Quick change rear ends are allowed in the club now.
Wow. Oh, wow, that is huge.
Of course, we brought that in when we're only running Flamborough, where the guys, when we were traveling and going to Sawville and going to Sunset and going to Peterborough, would have loved to have a quick change. But
yeah, you have to have 50 sets of gears to run around the province. Now you're on one track, now you allow it.
Correct.
Well, that's okay. It's still a progression.
Now, this one's going to, you better make sure Little Joe's sitting down.
Okay.
Coilovers.
Coilovers.
Wow.
Coilovers.
Wow.
Allow coilovers.
Nice.
The shock rules stay the same. We have a non-adjustable, non-rebuildable steel body shock rule, but you can now run coilovers.
That's wild.
So none of those things that I said are an advantage.
No,
no.
If your car was already set up and you were running at the top of the club, to change over to any of this would not benefit you because you're already at the limit of the tires. We run treaded tires.
Right.
So, but this is going to help the mid to back of the pack cars. It's going to help them adjust on their cars
Yes.
And help them become more competitive.
So on that level, and you touched on it earlier, you know, kind of one of the biggest things that hold back, you know, not necessarily hold back, but the hardest part about the vintage mods for the longest period of time used to be finding the inline sixes and building them and making them go, right? Would you agree with that? Like, for the longest time, that was a really big...
Yeah, you're spending $10,000 on an engine, and as soon as you put the ignition to it, the first time you fire that engine up, you just pulled the pin of a grenade.
Exactly.
That engine will blow. It's just a matter of when.
It's just a matter of when. So so that was a major thing, and now, you know, over the past, I'm going to say 5 years, 6 years.
Probably 10 now.
They phased in the 602 program, and now the 602 program's coming in line. Has there ever been the ability or the want or the direction of partnering with a company like Performance Fiberglass and creating a body style similar to what a Legends car is today? Is that something that's coming down the line? Because it really, the affordability on the underside of the chassis is huge. That's you guys have an ace in the hole over a lot of different divisions out there. You guys have speed, you guys have excitement, you guys have the cool look.
Yep. And you're not spending an arm and a leg. We got a race car underneath there. But to answer your question, nobody has come forward with a proposal. Nobody's come forward and said, listen, I want to build a car. Can I use a fiberglass body? I would hazard a guess. Now, I would have to talk to the committee about it, and I think that one I would have a little discussion with the club about it. But I can't see turning it down. And you know, right now there's a whole bunch of people that are listening going, what? Yeah. The hell is he saying?
Yeah,
sorry. What's he talking about?
It's fine. You can say that.
Why would we turn it down? There's cars out there right now that are rusted away that you need to cut and piece together. So the old days of it has to be an original pre-49, and that's the only thing we're going to allow. You know what? We need to build this back up to 30-plus cars. We need to put the fun back into it. The fans on the other side love to see our cars. They don't care what they're made of. They don't care what suspension's under them, what's engines in them. They just want to see the old cars being competitive and having fun.
We're with John Carley tonight. He is the newly elected president of the Canadian Vintage Modified. You can check him out online or go see him live, hopefully, at Flamborough
Speedway.
Brought to you by Young Drivers of Canada. John, tell us, for listeners that are listening in and maybe don't know what a Canadian Vintage Modified is, what's the oldest car you've got on the track? What's the newest year car that you've got on the track?
Well, you put me on the spot with that.
That's a big question.
That's a big question. I know we've had a 1928 Pontiac. Mine's a 1933 Studebaker. I know there's a 41 Hudson.
So they range from the 20s, 30s, 40s. Is there a 50s?
No newer than 49.
No newer than 49. So you can imagine they're all coupe style. Some of the
coupe and coaches.
Yeah. Yep. Do you ever see the day, John Carley? Like, that was the vintage modifieds. Now we're all into vintage, right? We're all getting vintage. Do you ever see the day where they're going to say, okay, we had a cap at 1949. Let's advance that to, say, 1960.
I think you already have that with the Hot Rod Series.
With the Hot Rod Series, right. Yeah, so they don't go back as far.
And I think that's why Dave Gainsworth never went earlier than 1960. I don't know what his rule is. Is it in the 50s?
It's 50.
1950?
I think it's 50.
I remember seeing the 09. The 09 was a 57.
Yeah, it's in the 50s. Is it a 50-something?
Yeah, it's a 57. I honestly think it's 1950 is the rule.
So, because they didn't want to infringe on our club when he was talking about putting that deal together. I know we talked a couple of years ago about running a show. If the car count wasn't coming up on his division and the car count didn't get up on ours, that maybe we'd run a couple of shows together, because back in the day you would have the Hot Rod Styles and the Jalopies run together. But I can't see that happening now. Both clubs are strong. If you had a full field, that might cause some havoc if you're running fendered cars against the open wheel cars.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, we could definitely entertain a match race.
That'd
because,
be fun.
You know, a match race could be something that would be in the cards, because that would be fun for both divisions. We've done it before.
Yep.
That's cool. John, if someone is listening out there wants to get involved with the club, how do they do that?
Go to the Facebook page, Canadian. The Facebook page is Canadian Vintage Modifieds. Once you're on there, just join it. Just hit the join button. You'll automatically be accepted. There's no rules. You just come on and join our community. And once you're on there, just either comment and say, I'm interested. Can someone contact me, or send me a private message on there? Just type in John Carley with a K, and then I will get in touch with you.
And they don't necessarily have to have a car, right? Say they're interested and they want to become part of the official base or part of a pit crew. They could do that.
Absolutely. You do not have to have a car. You can just join. If you want to come to the track and just be part of the organization, there's no cost involved. The only cost involved is getting into the pits. The driver has to pay to get in the pits, the same as anybody else. So if you want to just become a member of the club, you're more than welcome to come fill out an application, put your name down, say that you want to, up in the box where it says car number, just put fan. We'll certainly put you on the mailing list. We love to have everybody come. One of the things, I just give you a little teaser, one of the things we want to do in a couple of times during the summer is on a Sunday afternoon at Flamborough have a sponsor day where all the fans can come, crew members, sponsors for the club, sponsors for the car. Maybe we'll get the mini stock and pure stock and super stocks involved at Flamborough. And then any supporters of the cars, not necessarily the fans, but if you got a crew guy or you got a sponsor that wants to take the car on the track and do a couple of laps, we'll do something like that and, cook some hamburgers and hot dogs and just have a great afternoon. But we'll put that out when that comes, after I sit down and work out the details with John and the committee. But it'll be a fun afternoon for fans to come out and be that close to the cars.
It sure would be. Yeah, it'd be a blast. Johnny, you're going to change a lot of things for the positive. Sounds like the club is in good shape and getting even better. I know we look forward to 2020 and catching you at Flamborough Speedway, and I know we'll have you on before the green flag goes in the air.
Absolutely. I want to make one comment about you two. Congratulations on the new format at the Salvo Speedway up there.
Hey, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely think that is going to be a wild ride. Once it takes off and the guys start bringing cars out of the bushes and out of the barns, I think you're going to have full fields and entertain the crowds.
Yeah, and that's the whole name of the game, right?
Yep. We're coming up to check out a few shows. We got 14 shows, so we have a couple of weekends off. We'll definitely be up there to hang out at the track and see you all up there.
That's we'll cool. Save you a seat, John Carley.
All right. And you let Dave Franks know when you're talking to him. Congratulations.
I will.
On behalf of our team and on behalf of our club. He has supported our club for years as well.
Absolutely. We'll do that. Hey, we want to wish the Shaw brothers happy birthday, too. A belated happy birthday.
Happy Ron birthday and Don. To both of them.
Yeah. Hey, Johnny, this has been great
catching
up with you.
Do you know which one's older?
By 20 minutes, I think Ron is.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I always
get them to throw their hands up. Okay, show me your hands. I want to know which one you are.
Yeah.
That's the only way I can tell.
And hey, Lil Joe, you were going to say something.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say, too.
Okay. Oh, really?
That's word for word what I was going to say. I always say, which one are you?
Yep. Throw your hands up.
Show me your hands. Which one are you?
Yeah. Too funny.
Either show me your hands or which who's got Jason as a son?
Yeah, which one?
Which one?
I know Jay's mom makes the best butter tarts.
Yep.
Yep, for sure.
Yep.
Hey, get off. Well, we will see you real soon, Johnny. We can't tell you how much we appreciate the time tonight. Young Drivers of Canada,
right.
Vintage Modifieds. Cool.
Thanks for having me on.
You betcha. That's John Carley, the president of the Canadian Vintage Modifieds. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we got Dave Franks coming at you. Stay there. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Matt Box. Thanks for visiting Racetime Radio.
One time.
coast to coast. You're listening to Canada Talks.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, sir, I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce.
But I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Shine.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself, Mad Dog. Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Taking you all the way to the track
and back.
Live with him, can't shoot him.
And we are back with you live tonight on Sirius XM Channel 167. Good evening, everybody. Let me see now. Let's get back to the hotline, shall we? And let's bring in our next guest. This guy, let me tell you, when it comes time for looking at motorsports and looking back over the years and right to the last time they raced this year, chances are you've seen some of this guy's work. Dave Franks has been a photographer here in Canada and specifically in Ontario for how many years, Dave Franks? How you doing?
Thanks for having me on, by the way. Longer than I can remember, Joe. A long time ago, way back before you started All Star.
Yeah. A lot sooner. Long. Like, how many years? How long have you been going?
Oh, I would say I got off the ark with Noah. back in the early 60s. It's been a long time.
You've taken pictures at short tracks. You've taken pictures at some of the most iconic speedways and the biggest drivers in this business, Dave.
Yeah, that's true, Joe. I've been blessed to be able to do that, and today now I'm into third and getting close to four generations. So just got to get a bunch of them out of those go karts, and it's not going to be long. In fact, it's already knocking on the door. So I just enjoy it and. I'm getting wound down, I guess. It's getting tired, but I just want to keep on trucking and doing what I love. And let's put these Canadian boys on the map where they belong, because we've had our heroes here. There was Earl Ross, there was Hanley, there's Beater, and Rich Grady, and all those boys, Randy Slack. Well, those guys were people's heroes. Now their grandchildren are out there pounding the pavement.
and you're taking photos of them. And Dave, Cool News just the other day announced that you're going to be inducted into the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame. Congratulations and well deserved.
Well, thank you. It's I've been hearing that lately, and I want to thank you for that and all those wishes that are coming in, and they are. And I get emails, and I'm not good at answering emails. I don't care to talk on it, but it's just like my birthday just went by, and I want to thank all the people that wished me happy birthday, and there you go. Because I'd better talk in person or on the radio, because here I can get in trouble.
Yeah.
On Facebook, I'd be in big trouble. Believe me, it would get shut down.
Dave Franks, you know, lots of good stories, but I always like to share a personal story if I can with the guests that we have on the program, and you know, I've probably told a tremendous amount of the listeners this in person, but I remember back to me being, I guess it was about 8 years old, right? Nine years old?
Well, it depends.
At New Smyrna?
Oh, at New Smyrna, yep.
Junior Hanley.
I know where you're going, yep.
So
yeah,
Junior...
I remember your mom and dad there. I don't know. You were too small to be there, but no, you were there. I'm just kidding.
So Dave Franks, of course, has always been a good friend of the family and you know, myself and the entire family included. And we were all at New Smyrna. We all sat down in turn one and two. There was a group of people that always sat there, and Dave Franks was always a guy that was there taking pictures at New Smyrna for Inside Track, for New Smyrna themselves. And you know, Junior Hanley was out there, and you said to me, you said, if Junior wins tonight, you're getting your photo taken with him, because there's not many races left in that old guy.
Yeah.
And so, lo and behold, Junior Hanley started fourth in that race. And he worked his way right up, and he took the lead with 10 to go, and you said, come on, let's go. And at the time, it's nothing new now, because at New Smyrna, they open the gate, they've got a nice little ramp you can go down. But at the time, there was only one person that crossed the start-finish line when somebody won, and that was Dave Franks.
That was it.
Like, yep. Dave Franks was the only guy. There was nobody that was crossing the start-finish line getting their photo taken, because the next show is coming out on the racetrack. And Dave Franks would run out there, you would get the photo, and then you would run back across and you'd take photos from the outside. And you said, come on, you're telling everybody that you are Junior, or Junior Hanley's your uncle.
Yeah.
And we got down there to the start-finish line. The checkered flag, I remember Junior Hanley going across, like, you know, 6 inches away from our toes, because we're standing right up against the fence, and the whole field goes by, Junior Hanley wins, the crowd goes nuts, and you're like, come on, kid, come on. And they open the gate, the cars are still rolling, like, off the racetrack, and Dave jumps out there, and the security guard goes, no, you're not allowed. And Dave, you told the guy, and you're a nice guy, but you told this one guy this one time to shut up.
Yep.
And you said, that's Junior Hanley's nephew. and you brought me down there. I got a photo, and I still have that up here, but that's a cool memory, just so you know.
Yeah, well, that security guard there, he's still there. That's Mr. Smith, and I know him well. We know each other real well. It's because of him. I left my checkered flag there one night. I couldn't be there the last night of racing because NASCAR went under the lights, so I'm going to be at Daytona. And I says to this the security guard, I says, can you do me a favor? Look after my checkered flags. And the big deal is the year on the checkered flag is up in the corner. So when you look at the photo, you know what year it was. And doesn't mean I took the photo, because other photographs do it also. But he says, yeah, I'll take him home. Well, where do you live? So he gave me his address. Well, I stayed at his trailer park for years. And he took me down there. I says, oh, my God, this is close. This is neat. And, wow. So I picked up my flag, went over and picked up my flags, and the next year we were down there with the motorhome, and we've been there for years.
Isn't that? Friends are made at the short tracks. Doesn't matter whether you're in Canada or the U.S., friends are made, aren't they, Dave?
Yeah, exactly. It's and you weren't the only one I'd done that for. I remember Robbie Thompson. We all know Robbie up here in Canada, and his dad was a sponsored Peterman, of course. And John came to me and says, they want to get Robbie into Daytona and get some autographs and that. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, don't ask me. Please don't ask me. But he already did. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I was working for STP at the time, and sponsored Richard. So it just come on me. I just be here at 7:30 in the morning at the tunnel. And Robbie was. Don't know how I'm going to get him in there. So I mentioned to Mr. Ralph Salvino from California. He's the head fellow for SDP. I says, Ralph, we got this young kid from Canada, and he's never been down before, and he'd sure love to get in and see Richard and the boys. And he says, Dave, there's a golf cart right there. Well,
that's
that
cool.
Took care of that. That was easy. I went and picked Robbie up and his dad, and I took him around. He got autographs from every driver. A.J. Foyt was there, Richard, all of them, Buddy Baker and on. And anyway, we know John passed, and I went up to his funeral, and I was sad. But I said, Robbie, what did you ever do with all those pictures? And you had them all autographed. He says, Dave, that's my door stopper from my bedroom door.
No kidding.
That's cool. Yeah. He said, those are priceless for him. They're not going anywhere past that bedroom.
That reminds me, watching TV the other night, and Wayne Gretzky comes on there, a Tim Hortons commercial where he got Tim Hortons autographed back when he was a kid. And
exactly.
That's what it's all about right there, right?
Right, yeah. There was one more memorable moment for me there at New Smyrna when Richie Evans passed, and they had Richie Evans' son there, and he probably was Joe Jr.'s age at the time. And I took his picture with Dolly was there in it, and Clyde Hart, Dolly, Clyde, and Robert. But back then, Clyde was running the show pretty much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there was Richie Evans Memorial, and Richie was like Richard Petty or Junior Hanley in that division that he was in. He was the guy to beat, and it was touching for me to do that for him. And I treat the family to the, you know, to the photos, and it was neat.
Yeah, pretty wild. Today, even today, when you go to New Smyrna Speedway, have a look off turn two. You'll see a green Ford pickup truck. I believe Clyde's truck is still sitting off of turn two, isn't it?
That's Clyde's green truck. That's it. Exactly. And last time I was down there, Dolly's Cadillac is up there over the wall somewhere, too.
Yep.
Isn't that?
Dolly is Clyde's wife, for those who didn't know. But, yeah.
Yeah.
And, I'm going to run another one by you. I'm on my way to Sauble Beach this year. I was on my way up there with Judy. We're trucking up there, getting close. My cell phone's ringing. Hello?
Yep.
Yeah, Dave here.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's Robert Hart. Robert, how are you? And he's there was Robert, and he says, Dave, I wanted to tell you, I saw you hanging on the wall at Daytona. Well, it's been there since the first car they confiscated at Daytona, that when Dale Jarrett won the race, and NASCAR take the winning car from Daytona, it stays there in USA Today, or whatever they call it, there at the Speedway.
Yeah.
And they took a picture of the photographers, and I'm hanging on the wall like life-size. And he said, I just wanted to tell you, and that happened this year, and this is Clyde, and apparently his health is not the best, but I'm sorry. This is Robert.
Robert.
Yeah, Clyde's
right.
Gone. Robert, and his health isn't the best, but he's out there, and he's snooping around, and the years are coming up on him pretty quick. But we talked for till I got to the Speedway, and that was a real surprise to hear from him.
That's cool.
Yeah, it sure was. I can well imagine. You know, looking back on the years with Race Time Radio, I used to always get a hold of Robert Hart, promoter at New Smyrna Speedway, and get him on the show just ahead of Speed Weeks, and we'd all meet down there. And Robert's famous line was always, the beer's always colder at New Smyrna Speedway than anywhere else.
They cheat, though.
Why?
They cheat about the beer being cold.
Why is that?
So we wrecked out at New Smyrna the one night, and of course, the team and I, we got nothing to do. We can't work on the car, so we were done for the week.
Oh, that equals drink beer.
That
then.
Equals drink beer for sure. You turn from an amateur race team to a professional drinking team.
Yep.
And we went up in behind the grandstands. It was the final night at New Smyrna, and there's Robert Hart, and there's the whole group, right? The whole staff, and they had the chill machine from Bud Light.
Ah.
And it's got the temperature on it. Well, it's below freezing.
Ah.
So no wonder.
Yeah.
No wonder they always say that it's. The beer's always colder at New Smyrna because they're cheating. I even said that to him. I said, you've said that line to us for years. I didn't know that you were cheating.
Yeah.
You took the restrictor plate off.
Yeah, took the restrictor plate off his freezer.
You put the beer in the freezer,
of course.
They
got to be real careful, too, because that stuff down there will freeze real easy, not like our Canadian high test.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. Less alcohol in it, right?
But, Joe, you got a listener out there. I just found this out while I was waiting for the show to come on. His name is Mike, and he's a photographer at New Smyrna. One of them. Jimmy Jones is there doing his thing for the Speedway, of course, but this guy, Mike, I think his name is like Pennington. I can't quite pronounce it. It doesn't matter, but he's, if Dave Franks is on, I got to hear this.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to give a shout-out to him, but he's the photographer that took me in the back of the truck, and I was in the back of the pace truck, and there's a start line at turn number 4, coming out of 4.
Yeah.
They can't pass till I get to that line. We're not at the line. The first, second, and third cars were the second place car on the outside was underneath the guy on the inside, and I'm in this pace truck, and they just threw the red flag right away, and they chewed those guys out. this good old photographer that's listening tonight, I saw it on there. He got that photo and gave it to me, and we've got it hanging around a few places up here in Canada, just so he knows.
That was
action. It was scary. The car on the outside was on the outside pole, was underneath the guy on the inside pole, and his nose was pointing right at this truck. And nobody's going to win on the first lap. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was
especially when the pace truck's still on the speedway.
They didn't drop the green yet. They're not to that line. You know. Okay, end of that story.
Now you are a daredevil. You are a daredevil. You have put yourself, obviously, taking photos of race cars. You've got to put yourself into some precarious situations to get the ultimate photo, right? So that's a good example of that. But I will.
Good people help me do it.
Yeah, absolutely. But I will say,
Elmo Langley helped me down in Atlanta. You were doing Atlanta, and I'm getting bored, and I go over to Elmo. You get another yellow, I'll go with you on the yellow. Next yellow you get, yeah, get in the car. Dick, up in the starter stand, whatever. If you can do that, I mean, that's what these guys want to see, something different.
And absolutely.
If I'm allowed to do it, let's get it done.
Yep, 100%. But I want to go back to Cayuga Speedway back in the All-Star days. And you would always walk out on the racetrack. You would always be as close as you could, you know, with the cars coming to the green, under yellow, you're trying to get that perfect shot. And then you would always put yourself in a really neat area to get a good photo. And I remember watching from the top of the grandstands, or it wasn't even the top of the grandstands. It was the top of that Castrol Tower that used to be in the center of the infield at Cayuga.
Yeah.
I was standing up on top of that tower. And coming down the back straightaway, Rob McDonnell, Steve Laking, Tim Ellis, they're coming off of turn 2. They get crossed up a bit. McDonnell goes out, hits the wall, and comes back across and clips. Like, I mean, just touches the right rear of Jerry
Wheaton.
Jerry Wheaton.
Yeah.
Just clips the right rear corner of Jerry Wheaton. And he got crossed up. He went up, hit the outside wall. Of course, had no brakes because it sheared the brakes right off the front end. And he came across. And I don't know if you remember this incident, but I was standing up on top of the tower. And you used to stand up on top of a light standard.
Yeah, on the tires.
And you stood up on, they had big tractor tires. There was 3 tractor tires stacked on top of one another. And there was, of course, dirt poured in the center of them. And there was a, like, kind of a ramp, if you will, up to it. But if you ever hit it, like, it would be big. Mm-hmm. But you're kind of exposed. And Dave Franks, of course, is standing there. And I thought you died. And because all you seen was dirt flying and smoke flying and parts and pieces. And the car hit right at your feet. And, that was a scary moment. But that's the dedication that Dave Franks brings to the sport. You know, you've put yourself in the position to get the best photo all the time, and I think everybody can thank you for it.
Well, there you go. That's your story, and you're sticking to it. Quote Bobby Allison.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. That's right. Do you remember that wreck, though?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't. I couldn't have been that excited. Well, I'm concentrating on what I'm doing. You can't say, hold it, guys, I've got to get it. You do it.
Yeah.
Unconsciously, you just push the button and do it. It's but I do remember one turn number one at Cayuga. They had a big catwalk going out. It was just like a big ramp that you'd use to, like, to go when you go swimming. You know, you build a wooden walkway out and diving board in the end.
Yeah.
They had one there at Cayuga, and I was on that one, and car's not going to get me unless he went end over barrel rolled, and I was on the end of that photographing, and that's what it was for.
Right.
And, maybe it was for a television remote. No, there was no remote back then. But Rob Clark came right underneath it, right down underneath it, and I'm seeing him coming, and click, 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 and we got that one done. Okay, next. You straightened me out one time. I ran across the track. I waited till I knew the white flag was coming. The last car went, and I ran across, and it was turn number four, and I got time to make it. And, you chewed me out, Joe. And
I remember that.
He chewed you out for love, though. Yeah, that's what it was.
No, but it was, Joe, you did the right thing. You said, Dave Franks, you do that again, you're not coming back here again.
Yeah.
Okay, so you turned the light on. Threw my switch on.
Yeah, well, so, I wanted to see you for many, many more years, and thankfully, we got that opportunity.
There you go.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. What's the plan for you for 2020, David?
As far as I know right now, I'm committed to APC, and it's a very good series. And I'm going to do that. And, I thought that was good. I do 10 races, and then I can go where I want, when I want, and I can take the wife, and we can go here and go there because it's not all racing with her.
Mm-hmm.
But this was really good. So I did. I did 10 races for APC last year, and I was at a racetrack every night, every weekend, if not two. And I didn't see Judy there.
Yeah, and she was with you half the time.
No, she'd go to Sable Beach, and I'm looking forward to going back east again down to Antigonish.
Yeah, the IWK 250. You're going to head back out there this year?
Yeah, the only reason I'm going is because you're there, Joe.
Ah, there you go. There you go,
yeah,
David.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun out there the last couple of years. Look forward to getting back together with you out there.
Those people down east are like, they don't have to lock their doors, and Newfoundland the same thing. They should and whatever, but they're just down to earth people. They go out of their way to help you and make life simple.
Yeah,
and I love it, and I want to go back again.
Absolutely, Dave. It's going to be great. When is the Canadian Hall of Fame ceremony? When does that come up?
Well, that's coming up, and when the hell is that one now? I got it in my book somewhere. It's coming up in February. Obviously, I'm not going to run down to Daytona and come back again.
Right, right.
So it's coming up in it's going to be in February. I'm not sure of the date right now. I got it written down. It's up on the website.
Yeah.
And I'll be there, and it's all good. And I was very honored about that because they've 10 people they inducted, and 9 of them are writers, and the other one, you're listening to him yapping off on your radio show here. I was very honored, and that was the photographer. So it was only one photographer for the. It's a new deal they came up with.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a racer. I did my snowmobile stint back in the day, and did okay doing that. But I was very honored about it.
Well, congratulations on it. We got to congratulate, how about Eric Thomas, Race Line Radio. He also going into the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame. We would like to congratulate him on that. He probably doesn't want to hear that from me. I've never done anything to the guy, but Eric, I know you're listening. Congratulations on the Hall of Fame. It's going to be a dynamite night, David.
I wonder why. I'm looking at your photo right now with you and all your crew here taken down in Nova Scotia. You know, with all your crew, I'm looking at it. And I'm wondering why you put all your names underneath who's who.
Yeah.
Because if you look over top of your heads, the name is up there for all of you. It says collectibles.
Collectibles, yeah.
The ceremony will take place Saturday, February 15th, starting at 6 p.m. At the John Bassett Theater in the Metro Toronto Convention Center. So just so you know.
Yeah, and there's a big car show there at the same time.
Absolutely. Yep, for sure. Tickets are available grouped with auto show admission for the day for $95 each or $85 each for a group of 10 or more.
Dynamite stuff. David, this has been great catching up with you. I know I look forward to grabbing you again one of these nights and sharing some more stories with everybody. I know they love it.
Well, I'm ready because I got my cardboard boots on. I got licorice here and I'm out of film. Let's get her done.
Hey, yeah, ship me up some Twizzlers because I haven't had any.
Say hello to John Farley for me.
Yeah, that sounds good. David, thanks so much for the time tonight, buddy.
Thank you, sir, and all the best to you. Have a good one.
Bye, you Dave. Betcha. Thank that's you, Dave Franks, historical photographer here in Canada. We're going to take our final break. We will be back. Stay with us.
This is Glenn Hertzke, the driver of number 14 Super Late Model at Auto Clearing Motor Speedway. Race Time Radio will be right back.
NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
You're listening to Race Time Radio.
Hey, laser lips, your mama was a snowblower.
Right here on racetimeradio.com.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio, Sirius XM Channel 167. Thanks so much for tuning in here tonight. Junior, we are getting running out of time here tonight, but we got a lot to look forward to. The World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing coming up at New Smyrna Speedway. I think it was last night, flipping through Twitter, noticed speed51.com was set up at East Bay, so you know the action's all starting on the dirt down there. Volusia County Speedway, that always starts just ahead of the World Series, so hey, it's not going to be long, and we're going to be back on the racetrack down south. And then, yeah, we got a little bit longer to wait here in Canada, but it is coming.
It is, for sure. And, you know, over the next week and a bit here, there's, of course, the Chili Bowl coming down the pipeline as well.
MAV TV. You got to get MAV TV.
Absolutely.
And lock into it. MAV TV Canada, if you have not subscribed to that yet, you can get it on Shaw Direct, Bell Express View, all the carriers. I don't know if Rogers has it yet, but if it doesn't and you got Rogers in your house, call them and tell them you want MAV TV Canada. You do not want to miss the programming that they've got coming up on MAV TV now or all summer long. The Chili Bowl, You're going to get it all. You don't want to miss it.
I'm trying to find the official entry list. But the last post that I seen is 357 entries.
No way.
For 24 spots in the main.
Yeah.
You know, so the alphabet soup is going to be thick this year. It's just a crazy event down there.
Christopher Bell wins again?
No, I don't think so.
No, not this year.
I don't know if you'll see.
He's going cup now. Maybe he won't be at the Chili Bowl.
He got pulled out of the sprint car after a big wreck over in New Zealand earlier this year.
Yeah.
Kyle Larson, of course, sustained injury as well. You know, from separate incidents, but he was supposed to race for the entire speed week that they have over there. They ended up bringing him back. Now, I don't know if he's going to be racing the Chili Bowl or not. I wouldn't doubt it that he is. It's a little bit of a different ball game, a little bit smaller car, a little bit safer. You know, when you look at the list of names and who's all going to be there, it's just a crazy event, bigger every single year.
Yeah. Always.
They've built it into something that is, just absolutely crazy. One thing I do want to cover off, and I want to point everybody to it, Exalta,
yeah,
which, you know, longtime NASCAR sponsor, DuPont from
24. Yep.
Exalta Racing put out a shop tour with Jeff Gordon.
Oh, did they?
On YouTube.
Really?
I just watched it the other night.
Yeah. I'll have to check that out.
It is with Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart. It is Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart giving you a tour of Tony Stewart's shop, his private shop, his private car collection.
Really?
One of the coolest.
So not the race shop.
Not the race shop.
Oh, no.
No, not Stewart Haas Racing.
Right.
His private at-home shop where he's got, you know, his championship cars, and he's got his championship Indy cars, and he's got his championship USAC cars.
I bet you if you look in that shop, Tony Stewart,
it's
the
there.
Night he
it's
won.
There. No, that car. That's the reason why I wanted to bring it up.
Oh, really?
So that car is one of the focal points within the interview. He's got that car exactly the way that it came off the racetrack, 100% exactly how it came off the racetrack at Oshweken Speedway. He even talks about it, where he got his first World of Outlaw win.
Really?
At Oshweken. One of the coolest videos. I totally suggest everybody to go see it.
We got to look in the background of that. Got to look in the background. That night, I had a special, and I'm not kidding, a special Racetime Radio hat. I had three of them. They were really beautiful hats. Jamie did them up for me at Fast Eddie Racewear is who did those hats. And it was a special Racetime Radio hat. I had two of them signed by Tony Stewart,
yep,
that I could give away. And I gave one of them to Tony Stewart.
Oh, that's cool.
And that was the night he had won it, just minutes after he had won that race. I was the first guy that interviewed him after the track did out on the racing surface. When Tony got back to his hauler, he brought me right into the hauler. I said, "Smoke, this one's for you. I need you to sign these two, but this one's for you." And he said, "I will keep this hat."
That's cool.
I won my first sprint car race.
Yep.
In right here, I wouldn't doubt he's still got that hat.
Absolutely, it's pretty cool to hear, you know, Jeff Gordon and himself, of course, you know, similar backgrounds, coming off the dirt and kind of transitioning into NASCAR and that, you know, end of it. But you know, them talking about the accomplishment of him winning that World of Outlaws race at the age that he did, and it was his first World of Outlaws win, and just a really cool video. I urge everybody, shop tour with Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart. It's Exalta Racing on YouTube. Check it out. That is not a paid-for ad. It's just something that is really cool, and definitely a little piece of Canada with some of the greats in the sport.
Gotta love it. Junior, you have a good time in Victoria. Have safe travels, and then get back here. Adam McCullough is going to step in for you next week.
Don't get used to the seat, buddy.
And we will be back with you next Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time right here on Sirius XM, channel 167. Got to thank Sue here in the Racetime Radio studio. Got to thank Scotty in the Toronto studio for hooking us up. Have a good one, everybody. Have a safe week. And we will catch you back here next Sunday live on Racetime Radio. Have a good one.
This is Roseanne. White flag is out. One to go. No flag.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. A message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.